switched it. So now it's going into a splitter, so it's the eighth inch.
But it's the quarter inch into the jack there, right?
Yeah, into the headphones.
Okay, so then that one would be the left side, because the aux cord, that's the right side. That's how I remember.
That's how he remembers, Chris. Are you going to remember how he remembers now? Me neither. Wow. So we were drinking water, not coffee today, because I screwed up. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just didn't drink coffee this morning because I was ready.
I already had a big cup of nice hot
coffee
with heavy cream.
Harrison? Didn't you say you were cutting coffee out?
Not completely. I have it once in a while.
Oh. What?
Do you drink coffee?
If I had the option of having, like, chamomile or green tea, I would take that over coffee, probably. But iced coffee is good. Iced coffee with almond milk. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting this morning. Not this.
Wow.
I was just kidding.
Harry, put those beautiful teeth a little bit closer to the mic.
Check.
Holy crap.
Wow. What?
Well, I'm going to get loud. So I'm gonna be like this.
I just want to like find your comfort zone so we can be a little bit consistent.
Oh, you don't know what we're gonna say to you.
If I'm like here, this is good.
Okay.
You might be silent.
I'm purposely talking loud right now, but
you might be silent when find out what we're gonna ask.
I'm gonna keep my fingers on the knobs.
Wait.
Throughout this entire.
Are we recording? Experience.
Oh yeah, we started a while ago.
What?
But yeah.
I wanted to ask him a question.
Go ahead. Ask him anything.
No.
Welcome to the app.
No intro or anything.
No. This is how we do our intros.
He does an intro. Recorded before.
Oh, that's right.
I add the music in my own little personal.
And then we just go right into
music.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Okay.
Yeah, because
well, we're live.
See,
now
you've been being yourself. Now you don't have to like be like somebody
else.
There's
no filter now.
There's no script.
No.
Chris, say the
F word. Wait, are we allowed to swear?
Fuck. Oh, yep.
You can say it.
Oh, I can.
Go ahead.
All right. Poop.
All right.
Not that. You can't say that.
I'll say a really bad word.
Shit.
Ooh.
He's taking his shirt off right now, everyone.
Ooh. He's taking a shit.
I know. Well, hey. So, it's been what? This is 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
We took a break.
Easter off.
Yeah, Chris needed a drinking day.
Yeah, I did. I didn't want to come out all drunk.
Yeah. So we have a guest here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sounds a little bit like me, but a little bit different at the same time. This is my kid, Harrison Fodi.
Hey, yo.
Who is currently the drummer of River Sang Wild.
Nice.
Former drummer of Victim of Circumstance.
Good job.
Thanks.
No adding S's.
I did it.
Do you usually do that?
I used to say victims.
Well, a lot of people would go victims of circumstance or the occasional victims of circumstances, which I
thought
was
great. From the Three Stooges thing.
Yeah. One time I got a multiple of, so it was victims of circumstances.
Victim of circumstances, but now it's rivers that sang wildly.
Yep.
Wilds,
got it.
The wilds.
Nice. So Harrison's here. He's wearing, let me describe my son. He's definitely kind of
like a tablecloth today.
No, he's like a
nice
Christopher Walken.
Hair.
He's got Christopher Walken's torso with.
Okay.
I'm going to say
my legs are painted black.
Yeah, I don't see the legs, but we see the Christopher Walken. Just picture like a, you know, remember Kramer from Seinfeld? How he wore those kind of like short sleeve, old fashioned shirts, but they were stylish. Kind of like that. Describe his hair, Chris.
Black and luscious. Curly.
Luscious and black.
I don't know.
Right now it's kind of like permed up. He's got very curly, thick hair.
See, I don't do anything to it. Just.
Yeah,
he's
got
a
natural curl. Yeah, natural curls. But it's probably
people would kill for your hair.
About 2 inches off of his shoulder. Actually, one point of it looks like it's a.
He cut it about 6 months, 5 months ago,
yeah,
4 months ago,
December.
For Christmas.
But when it's wet, it's definitely probably like down to your chest, right?
Now?
Yeah, when you wet it.
Oh my
it
god,
hangs
no.
Down.
No, like the front doesn't even reach below my. I mean, it might go down to like my lip.
Yeah, it's about down to his lip all the way around.
Yeah.
Very handsome man. He's wearing John Lennon sunglasses, it looks like. Yellow.
Yep.
Looks full rocked out right now.
Makes everything look like it's sunshine. It's lovely.
Yes. And the necklace.
I think it was because he had to go to traffic court.
Oh, yeah. He was dressed for court today, but he didn't have
it. Oh, yeah. I didn't have court today. That's what it was. I had told everyone it was the 10th, and then it actually ended up being the 20th.
Yeah, so that's different.
Day. I have okay. another 10 days.
Well, that's
and no, no worries, everybody. I didn't do anything nuts. I just was going, you know.
Well, you're a rock and roll
a little
guy.
Let's, fast in a 55.
You can't drive 55.
That's not rock
people.
And roll. That's not rock and
He's
roll.
Sammy Hagar.
Add some juice to the story. Like,
yeah.
make something up.
Oh. Get it.
Yeah. Well, I just got done snorting a line.
And you were running from the cops.
And I was running from the police in Manchester. Yeah. And I was going to Merrimack. Before I got to the tolls, I got pulled over. And then they put me in the clink.
Awesome. Harrison, how old of a fellow are you right now?
I am 21, almost 22.
I already knew that, but it was just...
Well, for the
Chris
for the viewers.
Right, so that makes you...
Or whoever listens, maybe whoever, like, five people that listen to this or... 20
no.
or 50 or 100 people.
We have
that listen
a lot
to this.
Of closet followers, I think.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. We got
they
a few.
Just don't want to admit it.
We only hear from them
when we get really big.
When we take a break and we miss a week, that's when you hear like from
yeah,
the two or
you?
Three people. Yeah. Especially who's that cop that comes in? There's a cop that
oh,
listens
yeah.
to us.
The sheriff. I don't know.
Oh, that guy's cool. Short,
yeah.
like darker hair.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I only know his
Mike.
Name when he comes in, but when
yeah.
he's not here, I forget his name.
Shout out to Mike.
My God,
yeah.
Mike. I'm sorry, buddy. He's very handsome and. We're looking forward to his retirement because he can't come on the show until after he retires. Obviously, cops are not allowed.
Come in
they're not allowed to
the
do this
stories.
Person.
Not while they're on duty.
Oh, on duty.
Like
off
no,
duty,
just
yeah.
no as a
as their active duty.
Active duty. Yeah. So he has to be retired, and he's not an old guy. He's probably like my age, right? Maybe a little older.
I don't know.
Or younger. I don't
I think
know.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, but he's a very funny guy, and
yeah.
He likes us. So shout out, Michael. Mm. And I'm gonna
and
eat
we're
a burrito.
Back.
He's
we're back.
Breakfast burritos.
Okay.
I just thought I'd put that in there.
Thank you, everyone.
Forgot, he's the burrito cop.
Yep, very he handsome.
Those. He's a cool dude.
All right, Harrison, here we go.
What were we going to say? What were we just talking about?
Mike.
No, before that.
Before that?
Harrison.
I think we were talking about...
We weren't talking about anything. We
oh, that makes
we
you
just
a
started.
Gen Z. He's
oh.
a Gen Z, right?
Yes, I believe I am.
That's a Zoomer, right?
I'm not sure. What the frick
a Zoomer.
Does the Z stand for?
I don't know what that is.
What does the Z stand for?
I think
for?
It's just Z, like
just
the letter.
Like a letter. I know.
No,
no it doesn't
Gen
like
Z.
Stand for, like,
it's, they're
zombies?
Also, they're right here, I'm reading it. It says they're also known as Zoomers. They're the demographic cohort succeeding millennials and preceding Generation Alpha. I never even heard of them.
Yeah, Hal Hunter is my brother. He's
Your brother.
He's Alpha.
Alpha?
Pretty
really?
Sure.
Then my, then
he might
alpha.
Be a Gen Z, but towards the end of it, I don't know.
Well, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it?
Do you like your generation, or do you think they're a bunch of
oh,
wuss bags?
Sorry. You know,
technically every generation right
I mean,
now are wuss bags.
I think I really do feel like a minority in my demographic of people, because
yeah.
people just I don't know. People, I've found as time has gone on, I've grown up and...
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
You're a white man. Okay, continue.
No one cares.
Oh, you just... Well, a minority? I don't want them to get confused.
Oh, sorry,
like,
sorry.
Because I'm a white man.
Hey, I'm a little
if you're
a minority.
I got a bit of Sicilian in me, so...
Okay.
Got some olive in my complexion, but...
Minority in the way you think. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I should have specified.
That's okay. We'll clear it up for you.
Yeah, I feel like a minority, I guess, in the sense of my ideas or the way I go about myself in society,
mm-hmm.
amongst all of the other people that are of or around my age, because I don't know, as I've grown up and gotten older and to understand certain things and how certain people's brains work,
mm-hmm.
My viewpoint on how people are around myself in terms of age is they care about the things that you really shouldn't care about. And,
like, for example...
You mean people
for
your
example,
age care about... They're too sensitive. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think a lot of people grew up extremely coddled. And when you... I mean...
Our generation coddled your generation.
Exactly.
So
yeah. Well, I think... Well, you know... I think
I'm holding Harrison like a baby right now.
Listen, when I... No,
I'm
no.
stroking his black curly locks.
Well, when
Not
I
me,
think
you.
Of how, when I think of like how my parents grew up, and in comparison to many other parents growing up, my viewpoint is that they had it a little bit more. They probably had a bit more freedom, I would say, because I feel like nowadays parents just don't let their kids out because oh, it's this big scary world, you know. Oh, there could be a child molester or like some murderer or something.
We put our kids in a bubble, and then when it's time for them to go out in the world, they're like, oh,
yeah, they're like, wait, how do I do my laundry?
Like, you know?
Right, but the way we
powder my butt when I get out of the shower,
like,
mom, still
the difference that he just kind of like really articulated the difference right there between his generation and our generation, right, Chris? Because our parents didn't ask us to get out. We like would just leave the house because we didn't have
any. They told us to get out.
Yeah, we didn't have any like internet or anything like that to kind of like zone out in.
Right.
So we had to go outside.
It was more like, I think you see less and less of kids that are at a younger age. And their parents are like, all right, just be back home before, you know, dark or whatever.
Yeah. Come on.
Before, you know, I'm sure there's parents that do that still. I'm not saying that there isn't, but it seems like more and more as time has gone on, there's less and less of that. So I'd say that you guys had more freedom, in a sense, growing up when you were younger, but also there was more expected of you, I feel like. I feel like you were expected. There was more of an expectation of doing chores, more of an expectation of doing certain things. And, of course, that's an individualistic thing where it's based on the household. But I think that more times than not, you were expected to do more effective and hold more responsibility.
Their way of getting us ready to go out into the real world.
Yes.
So now it's like when we tell you guys you have to go out in the real world, you're just like, what?
Yeah,
right.
Huh? Well, but also our parents, so that would be...
Mine and yours.
The boomers, maybe,
were
more like, ignorance is bliss. They didn't hear anything. They didn't see anything. They didn't want to know anything. And now it's like we want to know everything, and I personally don't. Because I'd rather not know. But anyway, they didn't care. They turned a blind eye. And my mom used to say it. And when we used to get together with my mom now and tell her stories about what we used to do, she's like, I had no idea you did that. Yeah. She started crying because she's like, I'm the worst mother ever because I didn't know you guys like snuck out of the house and partied.
Well, I can't even say that ever because Harrison literally tells us everything he does.
Right.
He's so honest. He tells us everything.
But
well, probably not everything.
So
I'm sure there's a couple things.
We'll find out, you know, more ways of tracking your kid.
Well, when our kids are, like right now, my kids are home way more than I ever was at home.
Yeah.
So I think naturally, I think the expectation of chores, like you said, on us, actually, I believe it's the other way around. I think you guys have... Like, we're on you guys more than ever my parents are on me, just because you're around the house more than we were. So, I wasn't around the house all day, like, on a weekend, for my parents to be like, you know, you got to do your chores. You know, we were just out of the house. And honestly, I wasn't good at doing chores. I remember my parents asking, and I just remember it was like a struggle throughout my childhood for them to get us to put our dishes in the dishwasher. And
but that's
all that
how they got
stuff.
We got to go out. Like, my parents would be like, all right. I know you want to go do this, but first you have to, like, rake the front yard, and then you can go. And we would just do it. Now we have to, like, explain to you what a rake is.
I see. Well, I see some kids, too. They expect, like, you're gonna pay me?
Everything's got a price.
It's
your generation, everything has a price.
No, you live under my house, under my roof. I pay the bills. Go fucking rake.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's like that kind of thing. So it's just, like, I think, I don't know. A lot of kids nowadays, especially with, and I said kids, but also people my age, it's like, I think people are just so stuck on their phones, and anything that comes to their phone, like news or anything, it's like people believe the information that's the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, if it's right there, they believe it. If it's
yes,
right on their phone.
There's no research done at all.
Uh-uh.
So it's totally, entirely based off of just...
what you're looking at.
Right. Like, maybe one specific, like, news media channel, or it could just be some random writer, like, that just puts up articles on Google.
I could just write something saying that we're at war or something like that.
Right.
You'd be like, oh, shit, did you read that?
It's just like how I look at it is, especially mainstream media, just, like, in general, they're there to get viewers. That's how they get paid.
Yep.
In the grand scheme of things, that's how they get paid.
And where do they want you? They want your eyeballs on their shows. They want your ears on their, you know, whatever
they're
putting out.
It's everywhere you turn, though. Like, it's every...
And they want you to download their app. Everything's going to be connected to that phone.
That's why I don't really care a whole lot about media in general. It's just basically, like, if I notice that there's just facts being put out there rather than some dramatized thing, then I'll pay attention. I will say, like, I actually listen to NPR sometimes. And granted, they do have people kind of like all over the spectrum, and you really got to like pay attention to who's on. But I feel like a lot of the times there's just reporting on what's going around mm-hmm. the world right now. And it's not, there's opinions in there, obviously, yeah. but there's certain segments of their show that's just purely reporting facts.
Well,
and that's
facts, why, what kind of facts? Political?
Political, it's mostly just like world news. It's not just the United States. Right. I mean, I guess it depends on which one. I mean, BBC is also world news too. Right. And they got some pretty cool stuff that they talk about. So
that's confusing to me too, is that when growing up, news was like a 15-minute segment at like 11 o'clock at night, and there was some leftover time. It was never like...
Yeah, but it was like sports, weather.
It was everything within like 15 minutes. But now it's 24/7, and it's all political jargon, you know, and I just think people's brains right now are so filled with crap. Mm-hmm. And
especially
just,
with
it's fogged.
COVID going on, and people are tuned into their TVs more because they're at home.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even look at it as news 24/7 even. It's there's those very short sections throughout the day where it's just news, mm-hmm. but then you have shows.
Yeah.
It's an entertaining factor. Basically, it's just entertainment right. based on politics, and people look at that as the news.
Right. Nowadays. They you're exactly right. They look at everything they hear on those channels, like Fox News, CNN, and all those news
outlets. Well, I'll
just
use an example, like on.
And I'm doing news in quotes. Well, that is that a quote?
Well, that's when you grab a boob.
Oh yeah,
double quotes.
Well, like
double D's.
I'll give you a bit of both worlds. Like for example, Fox has the five, right? Huh. And to me, that's just
five.
Five people sitting around on a table giving opinions.
That's
and
a
I
guess.
Don't really give a shit
we
about that.
We should have a news show.
The three?
Yeah, and, the three.
But then on the other hand, you have like CNN, and it's like, what's his name? Don Lemon, something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got his own little show thing on there or whatever, and then there's like Trevor Noah. I don't know if he's...
They're all... But it's all like, the same stuff.
Right. Well, again, it's just... I look at them as entertainers who are... Happen to be in the industry of politics as well. And it's just a bunch of...
The thing
is, opinion,
BS. It's,
yes.
a bunch of opinions.
I don't, it's just like, I don't care to hear about their opinions. I mean, obviously, if people want to listen to them and yada, 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 because it's entertaining, all the power to you. But I have no interest in that.
I actually think they're not entertainers. They're a little bit more, because I think people listen to these people on Fox News and CNN. Yeah, they're influencers.
They
so I think, I honestly think there were, like, if an entertainer like Tom Cruise... Who's an entertainer?
His
political views, I could give two shits about, because he's an entertainer, and I just care about what he puts out on the screen. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
But he's not an influencer, so I think when you have like all these people on Fox News, where they have millions and millions of people that are influenced by these people and what they think, and they follow these people, and their lives are affected by what they see on these channels, it's just completely out of control, in my opinion. It's irresponsible. To just put like people against each other based on what kind of water bottle they have at this point, you know, everything is politicized, and it's out of control, and I don't see like voting people in and out of office. That to me isn't going to change the country. It's just back and forth. Like Republicans are in one year, Democrats are in the other. It's the same stuff that's been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my opinion, an easier way to change what's happening in society is to do things what we can control is what is the media. I mean, it's based on viewership. Stop watching this crap, and those people will maybe go away, you know, and it's not about voting. You know, they're trying to get you to believe that it's about who you vote into office because they want their team in.
I don't think they're going to go away though, like those big networks, because they've been around long enough and they have a shit ton of money. So how do you stay, you know, sustained is money or really, really like a good amount of viewership, which they happen to have both. So,
well, until this show gets more popular,
yeah, of course.
Well, we're gonna put them all out of business,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
with the money and the viewers.
I just
fans,
I don't even
we average maybe in one new fan a month. How long will it take for us to overtake?
A couple years. Let me do the math.
You never know,
7
it'll like
days.
It'll snowball eventually, you know.
Somebody's gonna catch on and be like, wow, they're very talented.
I do watch the every once in a while I put on the five, because it's not it's like I don't really take what they say seriously, but I enjoy sometimes watching just four people gang up on one Democrat.
It's entertainment.
Yeah, and CNN does the same. Well, actually, CNN and MSNBC, they used to have shows like The Five, like where they've had like five talking heads, and there's always one opposition voice. It's always like four or five against one. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of fun to watch. You know, I always go for the underdog. I'm not a Democrat, and I'm not a Republican, but I always kind of like vote. I like to see that one guy, his name's Juan Williams, I think, on The Five. He's that one Democrat, and he just literally just gets bombarded constantly, and he always defends everything, you know, his party does. It's just kind of funny. But
I think, actually, a lot of people nowadays, you were just talking about Republican, Democrat, all that kind of stuff. I don't consider myself either of those either, but it's almost like you're encouraged to pick one nowadays. It's like, it seems as a...
You're almost pressured.
And, you know, people are probably so sick of hearing all this crap because everybody talks about politics, and I'm kind of sick of it too.
We don't talk about politics on the show.
We can talk about, like, what we hate about it because, I mean, we're all in agreement, I think, at this table that we hate politics. Politics is a useless, I think it's a divisive thing that's happening right now, and it's really bad. So, hey, what kind of drums do you play? What
kind of drums do I play?
Right now, you have a couple kits.
Well, my main drum set is it's a Sonar SQ1. It's made of birch. That's a company based out of Germany, and they do some nasty work. They're really, really good. It's like a really beautiful. They call it the Roadster Green. It's it looks like one of those really old like European cars that are like small to go around on those tiny roads that they got over there. But it's a really nice kit. I got it brand new. It came right from the factory in Germany to Nashua, and I was the first and only person to ever play it.
Wow.
So I'm really happy with that. I've had that since August of 2018, and then I got a Ludwig Classic Maple last summer. And
where do you put them all?
I have the Ludwig in my room, and then my Sonar, since that's my main kit, that's actually at my studio. And I use that to record, practice, and play gigs with. So, the Ludwig, though, I'm just not super thrilled with the sizes I got now. So I'm thinking of selling that and then getting another kit. Because I did think to myself, I'm just going to keep every kit that I buy. But I already have a 24-inch drum, like bass drum, and like that kind of big rock setup. Yeah. And that's pretty much exactly what the Ludwig is as well, except... It's just got slightly different sizes, and I'm just...
I don't know. Can we kind of, like, explain this in a way where Chris might understand? Because me and you both understand, like, technical stuff about drums and music. But what is the difference? Like, you say there's a rock setup, and there's, like, probably a funk setup. And, like, that is based on the size of your
drums. Those are just generalities, right? Yeah. If you're, like, I don't know... I mean, things can interchange all the time. Like, I've played my Sonar during funk stuff, and sometimes during Latin stuff. It's like you can play whatever on these drums, but I would say when you typically say rock setup, a very, very classic like rock setup would be, it's a four piece. You got a 14 by 6.5 snare drum, 24 by 14 bass drum, 13 by 9 rack, and then like
a rack?
Rack tom.
Oh,
it's not a not boobs. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
A rack is a like a what is a rack? isn't that above Afghanistan or something?
Yeah. It is. But a rack is a well, usually you just call it a tom-tom, or I always call it just a rack or a rack tom. Oh. And that's typically like the one that's right in front of you, like above the snare, above the bass drum.
It's on a rack?
On a rack mounting system.
Around rack mount, that's okay. What I meant to say.
So that's why it's called that?
Yeah. Or sometimes people put it on like a snare stand, which I kind of don't get that because it really deadens the sound. But, I mean, I guess it depends on how you put it on the snare stand. Yeah. I don't know. I just prefer to use a floating system, which is where you just have a
rack. You float above the drum kit?
Yeah, well, there's a mounting system on, like, a cymbal stand with an L arm that comes out of it, and then you just hook it onto there.
So they call it a floating system because it looks at one angle, it's probably floating above the drum. You don't see the actual pin that holds onto it.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, because everything.
You understand that?
I got that.
You got it. Yeah. Cool.
Then then there's the floor tom, and that's typically, you know, I guess a classic rock setup. It's like a 16x16. Mm-hmm. Anywhere between. Nowadays they're doing a little bit more shallow floor toms. They're doing like 16x14. That seems to be a really popular size nowadays with the newer.
Does a different size make a different sound?
Definitely. The more you have in depth, generally, you're going to get more resonance, which I kind of like in my drums.
Is that a resonance? You mean it's like a broad band of like mids, lows, and highs?
It's just very open.
Open?
It's very open, and it sustains.
Sustained.
Quite a bit. You know, it depends on how you tune the toms, what heads you put on, and all that, yada, yada, yada. Like, for me, I want a kit for every situation. Like, I want a tiny club kit that I can get to sound really, like,
clubby,
tight and dry, and, like, it's just a very, like, I don't know, dry funk sound. Mm-hmm. Think of, like, a...
Tight.
Think of, like, a...
Dry.
Like a tight hole.
Yeah, right.
What? That's funk.
No, right. Just think of like
a loose hole. You'd probably think of like jazz.
Just
hooker.
What? You're so dirty.
No. But like think of like James Brown, like a James Brown record. Listen to the drums on that. That's what I think of when I think of like a tight, dry drum sound, you know. And then you have like a jazz kit. That's also like a small kit. I'm probably boring you guys, but it's a jazz kit is like you freaking
crank. Did you
bring
any drums today that you could play for us?
I did. Yeah.
He did?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I got nervous for a minute. I'm like, he will bring it up and play it.
I know.
That'd be fun. But
can I? Harrison's first drum kit was a kit that I made on a rack system. It was empty coffee cans and
a step stool,
and I used old CDs for cymbals.
Yes.
We have video of him
and
playing.
You played on that?
Oh yeah, all the time. I remember playing on it. It was like
you were four or five.
No,
you're
three.
About five. No, because no,
that
you're
the video where he's in the diapers.
Okay, when I was five, we were at Rangers Drive.
No. You were when your brother was born, and we lived at Baker Street. You were four, and we were there for a good year after that. So, and we have video of your little brother, like
this
as a baby, lying on the ground trying to play your little coffee can kit.
You made that before he was born, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably 3 to 4.
Yes.
He used to play just drumsticks though. For like, he's been playing drums since he was two. In the crib, then I would like leave my guitar on the ground, and then one day he crawled over to the guitar before he could really like walk that well, and he would start playing drums with his little sticks on my guitar strings because they made noise and stuff. But he was like playing actual drum beats. We have video of that too. It's kind of nuts.
Were you born like that?
Yeah, he was.
I guess it was.
Yeah, he was.
As I'm told,
he had a he talks about the rock kit, you know, a 24. Inch bass drum.
Yeah.
He had a 24 inch head when he was born, and it was just built to play drums. He was a 12 pound, 5 ounce baby.
Good job.
I almost said 12 and a half pounds, which would be 12 pounds, 6 ounces. Everyone corrects me.
No, that would have been 8. Because there's 16 ounces in a pound.
Okay. You learn something new every day at the cafe. I'm a chef too, right? I know all about ounces.
At the cafe?
No. So yeah, he's been playing since very young, and some of the early influences, I think, I was like trying to put my music onto him, like Rush and stuff like that. But he, even since he was a little kid, he kind of like was like just very independent about like what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I used to play guitar to you and stuff while you guys were in your beds to put you to sleep at night. And that was kind of the stuff I was trying to like influence you with. But like, what were some of the earliest bands that you remember, that you got into, that you liked, other than the stuff that I was kind of like playing around the house?
Well, like, I remember Rush, and I suppose I did listen to a little bit of John Scofield when Dennis Chambers was playing the stuff, but I didn't really think of, I just looked at Dennis Chambers as like, oh, Dennis Chambers, not really the, like him with John Scofield. But I would say when I was younger,
like one of the earliest
bands,
probably
the top three, I guess I could think of. I'm sure I could think of a bunch of others, but I know three that were definitely a part of my early, early, early childhood were Rush, Jimmy Eat World, and Nickelback.
Yeah.
And there's totally...
So you kind of like the rock?
Totally more.
The rock
music. It was always... Well, it was like other than like that early prog stuff that you were showing me with Rush and stuff, it was like alternative, like post grunge, early 2000s.
Some rock, pop rock too. I mean, Nickelback is kind of one of those bands that they're kind of hard, but they're definitely closer to being pop rock. Not really grunge. It was kind of weird when you.
Their early stuff. Well, it's like just like any band, you kind of morph into something else. But they were pretty grungy in the beginning. Yeah. I would say. Oh, Foo Fighters.
Yeah. That's something that I didn't listen to. So that's like one of the bands that you kind of like ventured off. Yeah. And started liking on your own.
And then when I would be with Uncle Craig, you know, he'd be playing stuff like Metallica, Slayer, Slipknot, things like that were kind of heavier metal like that. Yeah. But I never liked it. I don't know why. Or just, it never, like I can learn to appreciate it now, but I would never go on my own and listen to that now.
Right.
You wouldn't listen to your dad's Boys to Men CDs?
I put that
Boys
down,
to
yeah.
Boys to Men and, like, Living Color.
Oh, no, I never really liked Living Color. Cult of Personality is, like, a cool tune, but, like, for you, you want to make fun of me. Let's talk about some of the music you like, Chris. She likes the same like rock that we like me and you used to listen to as kids. Do you still like Poison?
Well, I'm going to see Motley Crue.
Yeah, she goes Motley and sees and they're July. Still playing. Motley Crue? Vince Neil is not like
no.
overweight and
Motley
like out
Crue,
of shape.
Def Leppard.
He is, yeah, but he's Def still Leppard. Doing it.
Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett. They are coming to Fenway. I'm going to that.
Joan Jett.
That's
kind of
cool. That's pretty cool. I saw Foo Fighters at Fenway a couple of years ago. That was a good show. It was long. They played it 3.5 hours.
You've opened for, didn't you? Your band opened for Blue Oyster Cult.
Yes.
Tell me about that. If like I'm personally, I know a couple
did
of their
say
main
no?
songs.
Don't tell you about that.
Yeah, no, I said.
Oh.
What did I say?
Yeah,
I don't even
Chris,
know.
You know who Blue Oyster Cult is, right? Like, name one of their songs.
Wait. I do.
Put you on the spot.
They all sound alike.
I can give you a hint.
Blue Oyster Cult.
More cowbell. You don't know that SNL skit?
Hey no. baby, hey baby, I'm talking to you.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking.
Don't Fear the Reaper?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes.
What was that like, Harry? And first of all, how old were you? That was in Victim of Circumstance?
Yes.
When you guys did?
That was a couple years ago, wasn't it? 2 years
were
ago?
That was
in 2019.
So you were 19.
No, 20.
You were
just turned 20 because this was August of 2019.
Now, how do you get the opportunity to open up for a band like Blue Oyster Cult? How does that happen?
That literally just happened through networking, for sure. Because there's a guy that I'm still friends with. His name is Dave LaCroix. He owns this. Shout out to Barnstream in Salem, New Hampshire. Amazing concert venue and web development company. Dave was someone who was a fan of my last band, and he actually helped build our website and stuff for my last band. It was a lot of fun getting to know him and get to play in his barn and record some video in there and stuff. But he had a good friend. His name is, I forget his last name, but his first name is Dan. He's the director of...
Levitan.
What?
Is it Levitan?
No.
Dan Levitan?
No, I think it's... I want to say it's like Macchio or something. But I... Don't quote me on that. I know it's Dan. So anyways, Dan is the director of the Lowell Summer Music Series in Lowell, Massachusetts. And they have a lot of national acts that come through there. And they were happening to have Blue Oyster Cult in 2019. So my friend Dave LaCroix said that he knew who that was and... like Dan, and he wanted to give me his contact. So gave me his contact. I met up with Dan down in Lowell at his office. I gave him a press kit with our CD and like a bunch of stuff, and you know, just had like a brief meeting. It was probably like 20 to 30 minutes. We talked, and I talked about my band and yada yada yada, and said I'd love to open up for somebody if you ever have a need for an opener rock band. And this was 2 weeks before we were supposed to play. Like, we had another gig actually scheduled on that day that we were playing with Blue Oyster Cult, but we just kind of canceled that because we're like, we're gonna go play with this band. Like, this is awesome, this is a great opportunity. So we took it, so we did it, and it was probably still the biggest listening crowd I've played in front of, where they're like sitting down or standing, like, watching the stage. It was probably...
What was the biggest deaf crowd you ever played in front of?
The biggest deaf crowd? I don't know what kind of
that would be our
is.
Age group.
Yeah, probably. Like a nursing home?
Oh, yeah, probably. But it was good. There was, like, I think when we were playing, there was anywhere between, like, 1,000 and 1,500 people.
So. Ironically, that's in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Ironically, that night a record was broken of the amount of cars that had their hubcaps stolen in one place.
Oh yeah, I forgot
was
about
that night.
That.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, night of the hubcap they call it.
Yep.
You got capped. Everyone's like, "You got capped. Hubba, I got
hubba.
Capped."
Yeah.
Hubba hubba hubba.
But yeah, it was good, and I got to meet all of them and stuff. And
didn't
I,
you you told me didn't you get one of their members' phone numbers and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, the bass player, Danny.
Danny.
Danny Miranda.
Let's call him.
Yeah, what's
yeah, you
want to
call him right now?
Yeah.
I have him in my phone.
Danny.
Get it out.
No, I'm not doing that to him.
Why?
No, that would be so
He'll
weird.
Be on the air.
Come on,
the
Harrison.
On
okay.
The air.
No, we haven't
much,
talked at all.
How much do you want?
Huh?
How much money will it take to
no,
get his
I'm
number?
No, I'm not going
to,
no.
Name a price. Just, I'm curious.
No,
what
don't
would
want
it be?
His number.
I'm not going to even, there's no price I could put on that. I'm not going to bother that
what's
sweet
his last
man.
Name? Danny Mac.
No, I'm not even going to repeat it.
Manamara?
Nope.
Maranara?
You have Google. You could look it up if you want.
It's in the band. Just look up the band.
But Danny's a really Danny Miranda's awesome.
Oh, see.
Yeah, that's who it is. Oh, there he is.
Oh my God, is that Danny?
No, it's
not. Who is it? We have a phone call, everybody. It's on Chris's phone. Oh, it's my phone. I'm sorry. I don't know who this is. I'm just gonna answer it. Here we go. Here's some live stuff, everybody. Go.
Here we go.
Hello.
Just wanted to do a real live man on the street interview for the podcast today.
Is this Matt?
Yeah.
Matt.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
My husband.
Yeah, we're on the air right now, pal.
That's why I wanted to call him to a real live man on the street interview.
What's hey? We're talking to Harrison right now, and your wife over here.
All right.
We
were just making fun of you.
We were just
no,
talking
what?
About you. What were you saying? 24-inch what?
drum. They were talking
head.
About drums.
Oh,
24-inch
head.
And a big drum. Bag.
And honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you up to, my man? This is everybody. This is Matt, the husband in I don't know what else. What
better half.
Better
of
half.
Life.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris's stripper.
Yeah.
My plaything.
So Chris was just telling us what happened with that Crisco last night.
Oh. Yeah. Did she tell you about the? Great new cabinets we've been building and stuff like that.
Oh, is that what you call it? Building cabinets? That's kind of my nice word.
She said you fit a lot in
no,
there.
No, she showed me pictures. I mean, the cabinets are beautiful.
A lot of Crisco in those cabinets.
Yeah, lots of knobs.
A lot of Crisco. Well, you guys have a great podcast. Hi, Harrison.
Hello.
Hi, Harrison.
He's,
hi, honey.
He said hi. Hey, is there anything yeah. you want us... well, we got you. Can you give us a little dirt on your wife? Like something funny
no.
that we can talk about?
Oh, my God.
Like, what comes to the top of your head that's not, like, too racy?
Well, if she sleeps, you know, if she's really tired, she snores sometimes.
Oh, my God.
that's
the
dirty.
Dirtiest thing you got? No, he's holding back. All right. Yeah, we
gives,
all do
that.
That
gives us enough. We can roll with
hey,
that.
Hey, are you on duty today?
Yeah, I'm sticking mailboxes right now.
Ooh, that sounds hot.
Yeah.
All right, hey.
Yeah.
He delivers his package.
What? Yeah, we'll let you get back to stuffing boxes, okay?
All right.
All right, buddy. We'll catch you later, man.
Oh,
bye.
Bye.
He didn't say bye to you.
I just talked to him on the way here, too.
He wants... We should have him on, too. It's been... Because they have Harrison, we're kind of, like, on the same page on this. They're the Pentagon's supposed to be releasing, like, in the next week or two, the actual UFO report, and they've had...
They've been saying that forever, though.
You know, but
they
there was a couple leaks.
Maybe you could have the podcast while I'm gone.
No, we got to have your husband in here for
that
one.
Well, he'll be
because he'll understand.
You creeped out about that stuff?
No, huh? They just released another video of the Navy had this crazy video of these triangle UFOs flying over, and they're videotaping. This is from the Navy. They just and it was night vision, and there are like these crazy, like they just look like perfect triangles, and they're doing these crazy little spins, and
they're
and there's like strobe lighting going
drones.
On. It's so weird. They
it's
just
drones.
Like. It was a leak that happened about a week ago, and the Navy just confirmed that those are actual videos from the Navy. So I can't wait for this thing to come out. I honestly more than ever believe that there's going to be some stuff that is just so ridiculously out there, everyone has to actually pay attention to what's
going
on.
What you just said was so ridiculously out there.
We need this. We need this to get our mind off of the crap that's happening.
No, there's other things we can use to get our mind off the other crap. Like,
I mean, I'm not gonna be shocked, though, even if they're like, yeah, we confirmed that aliens are real. I'm going to be like, yeah, no shit. I've known that for a while. Because it's not because anyone's told me, but because it's like, I just think it's so naive to think that we're the only thing in the universe that could exist as like intelligent life form. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about 80% believe. Like, there's still that 20%. I still need to see physical evidence. And what will prove it to me, if the government in the report says they have actual like vehicles or something, a crash, even materials or like bodies of aliens, that's what it's going to take me to like go all the way with this. Like, I'm still,
I need to see,
I want
to
believe it.
Actual alien.
I'm kind of like that too. Or a UFO, like an actual, like they have an actual empty UFO. It doesn't have to be an alien.
I'd like to tour the UFO.
Do you believe Bob Lazar?
I want to believe. Bob Lazar is this scientist.
He worked at Area 51. I don't know. It was Area 51.
S4.
It was S4. That's what it was.
I want to go to Area 51.
And
well, that you won't find anything there. There's actual sub. There's like laboratories and stuff that are in that area, but the actual Area 51, I believe, isn't where everything is, like all the UFOs are.
Well, there's a lot of confidential information there.
Yeah, you can't get in to see, but there's a little, like, there's one called Groom Lake, which is around Area 54, but it's not Area 54.
Is it Area 54 or Area 51? Is there more than one area?
It's 51, isn't it, or 54? I don't
even know. Are you thinking about Studio 54?
Yeah.
You just said S4?
Oh, S4. S4 is where Bob Lazar is from, which was an underground thing that was like in the side of a mountain. Like, these doors opened up, according to him. And they had, in these hangars, they had captured actual full, like, UFOs. They were trying to reverse engineer them. And Bob Lazar's story is what...
So why wouldn't they make that, like, news? Why does that have to be
Well,
so
he came
secretive?
Out in the 80s, like, 89, he
well,
came out.
I'm
going to
say that they don't do it
news.
Because there's possible weaponry involved with that. Yeah. They don't want other countries to have that information.
Yeah, it's a secret.
You know?
Well, I mean, keep it secret from the other countries, but you can tell us. We live here.
Well, you know, somebody will tell, like Chris. Well, we'll call Russia. Yeah.
But at the very,
I got some news for you guys.
I gotta make a call.
At the very least, I think it's so stupid that they just haven't confirmed, like, out-of-this-world life forms coming to this planet.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the case, I think it's so stupid that they just haven't at least admitted to that.
Yeah.
They don't have to admit to the technology. They don't have to admit it to any of that.
See, to me, I don't know if I believe Bob Lazar, like, yet. If the government comes out and says that they have vehicles, like Bob Lazar said they did, like he described all these...
Well, to me, Bob Lazar is just like, it's like an Edward Snowden, but for the extraterrestrial shit.
Yeah.
That's
no,
how
he
I
thought
at.
He thinks people should know this. I mean, this is, your government is hiding it. But
yeah.
He's so convincing. If you ever watch some of the interviews with him, he just sounds so... not like other guys that... Like, they have, like, scientists and, like, people in... that work in that area, like that used to work for Area 57.
there's
Heinz,
Area
51,
and there's S4.
Whatever.
And there's Heinz 57
yeah.
And Studio 54.
Yeah, he worked for, like, there's people that confirm that, like, Bob knows what he's talking about, and, you know, they're not saying he's 100%, like, true. They can't prove, because they, like, erased his past. They said he never worked there, and then after the fact, stuff started coming out, like logs with his
is
name on it. No, he's still alive. He's only, like,
I think Bob
he's
Lazar,
gonna be like 60.
I'm pretty sure Bob Lazar is the one that, correct me if I'm wrong, but he put a jet engine in
on a bike.
Honda Civic. No, it was a Honda Civic.
And a bike.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, since he was a kid, he was putting jet engines on everything.
Because he loved science and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he did that.
He's a wild man.
Somehow the government saw that in a newspaper, and they, like, looked him up or whatever,
well,
and they ended up, like, there's a whole, like, in-between story.
He said he worked for Caltech, and that's kind of, like, where he got the job into, you know, Area 51.
Yeah, S4.
S4. So, but the government said he never went to Caltech, he never did this or that, and they couldn't find, like, they erased everything according to him, and then there was actual... his name was on something to do with Caltech. Like, some guy had something that they couldn't erase electronically. like a book or something with his name on as like one of the people that worked at Caltech and learned there. And same thing with Area 51 S4. They said he was never there ever, and they found a log that he was employed there. And so there's little things that have come out that kind of like made it look like he's telling the truth, and the people that are calling him liars are the ones that are lying. So that's kind of like confusing, you know. I need to see a ship or a piece of a ship, or an alien would be the ultimate, but I would accept like a UFO that crashed and they have the debris. That would confirm to me that there's actual aliens visiting this planet.
Mm. I think we need to have somebody on the show that can decipher dreams.
Yeah.
Because I've had some messed up dreams lately.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, yeah, you know what? You gonna tell us?
I'm not gonna tell them until somebody tells me what they mean. Oh. Like, I don't want to.
It means
weird.
You're a sex addict.
No. Like, it was weird shit. So I take drugs.
Yeah.
Unless I should.
I have some. Harrison might confirm this. I kind of like can walk around and still like sleepwalk once in a while.
Yeah, it's weird.
And every time,
I always think you're gonna get. I always think you're gonna get like violent.
No.
You need to video him. Seriously. Yeah.
It's usually it revolves around me like in my dream going to the bathroom. Whenever I have a dream about peeing, and like I can't
pee the bed?
No, I have I'm tell you the truth, I've maybe peed the bed twice because like I just couldn't like wake myself up enough to realize I had to go.
Yeah.
But when I have dreams and I sleepwalk, the dreams I can describe them because I like they just stay with, it's one of those dreams you never forget. And I'm like it always revolves around me trying to find a bathroom, and then I like get to like where I can't like get my pants unzipped in time, and I'm like at a party or something, some embarrassing situation where the toilet is right there, but I can't coordinate. I can't coordinate myself enough to go, and then that's when I kind of like get out of bed all confused, and I should be heading to the bathroom, but I usually walk right by and go out to the living room and embarrass myself in front of my family. And it goes way back to my childhood, too. My mom told me the most embarrassing thing she ever witnessed was my parents had a party. We were all us kids were in bed, and they were playing cards at the kitchen table, and then all of a sudden they see me walk by butt naked. And they're like, they didn't say anything because, like, what? And the company's like, what is your kid doing?
And
I must have been five. I was, like, five. And I opened the refrigerator, and I peed inside the refrigerator.
My brother used to do that. He used to open the refrigerator door and pee in it and go back to bed.
That's a common thing, I guess. And my sister?
Maybe you think it's like the bathroom door?
My sister left the house when she was young. Yeah. Aunt Nancy Harrison? When we were living, this is like the same year that I got caught peeing in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got a phone call from a house five houses down. In the middle of the night, my sister walked down. They found her in their kitchen, in their refrigerator.
Oh my God, Madge.
What the hell?
Yeah, she was in they had one of those refrigerators that the freezer was on the bottom, and they said they caught her like in the bottom trying to get popsicles or something, like, but she was like half out of it.
I don't know how people can just do that. I've never, I don't think I've ever sleepwalked.
I mean, I've been in that state of like not quite sleep, but not quite awake.
Yeah.
And tried to like move around and stuff like that. That's
this is how I would describe it to you. You know, like when somebody wakes you up and you're still in bed and you're just jibber jabbering. That's what sleepwalking is. Yeah, no, like sometimes I'll
do that.
I'll wake you up and you're still half out of it, and then you're like you're jibber jabbing a little bit until you fully wake up. Just that's the state that it feels like. You're like you're half in a dream, and then somebody from the outside is waking you up. So you're kind of like jibber jabbering to them.
You get stuck in that.
Yeah, in your dream, you probably sound like, "Hey, I'm a very sophisticated man," but when you're half out of it, it sounds like this to normal people. But you hear an actual sentence. That's what sleepwalking is like.
I used to say, like, Matt would like wake me up or think he was waking me up, and he said, like, you always say, "Where's the car?"
Yeah.
What are you thinking about?
He's incoherent
like,
sentences.
Where's the car? It's like, it's in the driveway.
I can't recall ever sleepwalking.
No.
Or
when you were little,
me.
When you were little, you were just half. I think little kids, it happens more than adults.
Maybe.
I would guess. Because both my kids, they had, like,
it must have
your brother used
to
do it.
Having to go to the bathroom. Because I mean, it's a lot of it is, I
think. Yeah.
End up peeing somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're saying that you shouldn't wake a sleepwalker. Like, why? I don't know. That was just something I think that's some
stupid thing.
Because they'd go crazy.
No, it's because it's funny.
Wake them up.
It's funny when you don't.
Like, you, they would be like, oh, because they're stuck in between, like, sleep and.
When your brother slept walk once, when we lived at, not Rangers, it was Elmwood Village. I remember, you might get so mad at me. He was sleepwalking and he had to go to the bathroom and we're like, oh my God, get him to the toilet. So I corralled him, he went pee and he was still out of it. I go, okay, I go, wash your hands. And then I put toothpaste on his hands and then he started washing his hands with toothpaste. Then I said, you gotta brush your hair. Yeah. I said, brush your hair. I gave him a toothbrush and he started brushing his hair with a toothbrush. Your mom used to get so mad when I did stuff like that.
Oh my God.
You could do it. You could have him commit a burglary or a murder. You know? You could control somebody when they're like that.
Yeah, it's like they're, what's the word? Hypnotized.
Hypnotized, yeah.
Basically, yeah, that is what it is.
That's my ride.
Oh, yeah?
The Harley.
Is that Matt on his Harley?
Yeah. That's how he delivers the mail.
That's how he, yeah.
Oh, that's hot.
On a chopper.
On his hog.
Oh, on his hog. Hog.
Yeah. What? That's what you call it. That's what you call it, right?
Yeah.
I guess. Well, that actually reminds me of that movie Wild Hogs.
Motorcycle, yeah.
You ever see the movie Wild Hogs when they're on the bikes and stuff? Yeah, that makes sense.
John Travolta and
never saw that.
Tim the Tool Man. No.
Yeah, Tim something.
Allen.
Yeah, Tim Allen and
John Travolta was in it.
Those couple. Those two other guys.
Christopher Walken.
No.
Tom Cruise wasn't in it. I could give two shits.
No, he was not in it.
Harrison, what's your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
Oh, God.
Cocktail.
Cocktail.
Oh, I don't know. I think I would probably...
When you flip the bottles?
I'm a sucker for, like, sci-fi stuff. Michelle. So I did really like what he did in War of the Worlds. Whatever, I can't remember it.
World of the
Top
Wars.
Gun.
War of the Worlds. Cool. I never really got into Top Gun.
What about Live, Die, Repeat, The Edge of Tomorrow? The one we watched.
Edge of Tomorrow was kind of cool.
We watched that like every night.
No, I liked that one.
Did
I
like that one?
Bill Paxton was in it.
I love Big Paxton.
I liked his movie Night and Day as well.
Which one?
Night and Day was good.
That was with Cameron Diaz.
Have you seen that one, Chris?
Vanilla Sky.
I like that one. Everyone hates that one, but I like that. Did you see Night and Day with Tom Cruise? You would love that.
Probably, but I also like Risky Business.
Oh, The Firm was good too.
Oh, The Firm was good.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That was, in terms of like his older stuff, and more towards the beginning, I like that one.
I love Legend. Remember that one, the fantasy one, where there's like unicorns and goblins?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely never seen that.
Great movie. You know it. I've watched it around you.
Oh.
The Never Ending Story? Like,
no, it's kind of like that though, but with fairies and the devil.
I really, really like, I was talking to my grandparents recently about this. My couple of my favorite movies, probably three of my favorite movies of all time.
Jaws.
This isn't like top three. This is just one of my favorites because I can never put a finger on what my absolute favorites are. But Catch Me If You Can, that had Leonardo DiCaprio and Christopher Walken in it.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Saving Private Ryan with Tom Hanks and everybody else. Matt Damon was in that too. And another one with Tom Hanks, Castaway.
Castaway's awesome.
I love Castaway.
Yeah, I like that one.
I basically like any movie that Hanks does because, like, even his oldest stuff, like Money Pit, I love Money Pit. Splash. Yeah.
You would love Splash. You remember Splash? I've seen that. Yeah. That's a great one. I was just talking to you about that. I want to see that again so bad. It's been a while. Tom Hanks, John Candy.
Yeah.
Daryl Hannah.
I liked, Big, that was good.
That was
Big.
A good one.
Yeah, that was. I didn't like it as much as any of his other ones. Big was okay.
Sleepless in Seattle.
I thought it was weird when he slept with that chick, though. I'm like,
the Terminal.
Because he's like 12.
Did you ever see The Terminal with Tom Hanks?
I didn't like that.
You didn't?
In the airport,
when
right?
He was stuck in the airport.
Yeah, not a fan of that one too much.
I like Captain Phillips was really.
That
good.
Was a good one. You know a lot about
like
Tom
Pirates.
Hanks.
No, I like a lot of his movies.
I actually
like Sully was really good too.
Sully was
the,
okay.
He's the pilot.
Good.
I just thought there should have been way more sex in that movie. There was none.
Yeah. Sure you would have.
Sully Sullinger is his name, right?
I thought there was sex in that movie.
No. None. It was about that guy that landed the crash landed in the river.
Denzel Washington, he was in.
Yeah, that had a lot of good sex in it. Yeah. With that girl from Yellowstone.
Oh.
You know the girl.
That was her.
Yeah.
Moving on. What was
nothing? There's you know, like in the '80s and the early '90s, sex was like in every movie, like every horror movie, Jason movies.
Because that's all
movies.
They had. That's all you guys had. You had no good graphics.
It was the
you
only
had
sweetener.
Good.
Yeah, the only sweetener we had.
It was the only thing you had were these perky tatas in every movie. It
and
was always like if
there
was like a serial murder movie or something.
You see a girl's tatas and then you see her get her head cut off. There's something about that. It's pretty cool.
I don't even know. All those like murder movies and stuff, you know, I'm like thinking of myself. I'm like Mike any Mike Myers movie or like probably even Jason, Friday the 13th, any of those, Freddy Krueger, all that crap. It's
there's
like,
a formula though. They like those horror movies. They were so popular because there's something about kids having sex and it's dirty and stuff, and then being killed for it. And there is something in the mentality.
It's like a style.
Yeah,
of
definitely.
Movie, basically.
I think they were trying to tell us 70s. That sex is bad.
It was a deterrent.
You will die.
You'll die.
They should have showed those movies in school.
Yeah.
I know. That
should have been in health class.
My kids, 18, if you were not 18, you will go to jail.
Or die.
Having
sex.
Really?
Yeah.
If I had a daughter, I'd be like, you sleep with that kid, you know, at a party, you're going to end up with your boobs sliced off.
Yeah. 18 years. 18 years to get you for 18.
Wow.
And then when I watch back at those movies now, What is the point? Yeah. Only because from an originality standpoint, because everybody does it in those movies. I'm like, and anytime I watch any of those movies now, it's just like, literally every movie has it.
Yeah,
like boobs, then murder.
Well,
you know,
as a kid, we watched those because we weren't supposed to, and now as an adult, we watch them still because it's nostalgic. It reminds you of your childhood. Yeah.
We laugh at it more so now.
Yeah.
Like,
we laugh, and it does bring back memories of your childhood. So
just like a song, just like music.
Yeah,
The Goonies really brings back my childhood.
That's a great one.
That is a good
I watch
one.
That all the time.
You
guys, all that shit.
I love when mouth is speaking Spanish to the house cleaning lady.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Can you translate for me?" So, and the mother's like, "Can you translate?" And he's like telling her all about all the drugs
and like
they keep the
dead
people,
bodies.
Yeah, the dead bodies and the people in cages. And
oh my god! See, I like I really like the Goonies. I don't know. There was a ton of movies growing up that I loved. But
I just like movies.
Yeah, they're good.
Well said, Chris. Well said, Harrison.
Yep, they're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to say before I end this?
No, we could say thank you to Harrison for coming
I know.
On.
Oh, okay. Harrison. Oh, Harrison. Oh, where can people see your band? I mean, YouTube. What?
Oh yeah, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. It's all at Riversang Wild, all lowercase. And you just type in Riversang Wild, all lowercase letters. You'll find us on any of those. We don't do Twitter because Twitter sucks. Sorry, all you people that use that.
What do you have coming up? You have a gig coming up?
Yeah, we have a gig next Saturday.
First gig since the pandemic.
Well, we did the band. We did some private shows already, but this is the first public thing that anybody can come to.
Yeah.
This is up
at
the.
Out of town.
It's the American.
I'm going.
It's the American Legion up in Somersworth, New Hampshire. That's from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. and there's no cover charge or anything like that. You just gotta sign in at the front door to get in.
Take your temperature rectally.
Yes. Yes. Suppository thermometers.
Yep.
I'll bring the feminine napkins.
That's hot. But I would say, I guess my last words are don't. Of course you do that.
Of course.
Don't take things too seriously. That's it.
All right, you zoomer.
That's very serious.
That's it. Chris, what are your last words?
Yeah.
Fuck. I'm out.
Oh,
no
she's
words.
Out of it.
I'm done of words. All done right. of words.
Yeah.
Done with words.
Done.
My last word would have been
moist.
Moist.
That's always usually his first word.
It's
so.
Like cake. I'm longing for cake right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right. Happy Saturday. Everybody go raise your bottles.
Harrison.
Raise your bottles.
Thanks for having me. Let's do cheers with our Aquafina non-sponsored water bottles.
Yeah.
Yacht Town Podcast out.
Peace out, bitches.
Thanks, Harrison. Thanks, Chris.
See ya.